Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. She is joined by producer Mike Clark. This dynamic, sometimes crazy, sometimes funny, and always entertaining duo will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Hey guys, do you remember earlier this year I went to an awesome chiropractic seminar called CalJam?
You do that every year, don't you?
Yep. Yeah. Well, almost every year. And yep. We actually, the founder of CalJam, Billy DeMoss, he was on our show once.
Yeah. He's crazy, man. He's a crazy dude.
He's fantastically crazy.
He's awesome.
Well, I'm at the seminar and I'm in the hotel, and standing next to me, I look over and it's none other than Joseph Mercola.
Did you faint?
From Mercola.com. No, I'm not that kind of girl. But I walked over and I said, "Hey, Dr. Mercola, I refer to you all the time on my radio show."
You do.
Yeah, just because he's got some great information out there. And had a great conversation with him. He's a really good guy. And when we did the last in the news segment, there was an article that he wrote that I really wanted to talk about, but we decided it's just a little too long. So we decided to make an entire in the news episode based on an article. Interestingly, he wrote, but he was referring to an article written by founder of an organization called Clean Plates. Jared Koch wrote about his 9 staple foods that are far less good for us than we were ever led to believe. So Dr. Mercola expanded on it, on the selections, and now we're going to expand even more on that. So we're going to talk about the 9 foods you should never eat.
I probably eat all of them.
You probably do.
Yeah.
I think you do. Okay, you ready? Number 1, canned tomatoes.
Oh.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I was going to make a nice tomato sauce for dinner tonight.
you can use glass jar tomatoes.
You would go out and pick the tomatoes knowing you, though, Emily.
Yeah, you would stomp on them with your feet.
Yeah.
The bare feet.
I have been known to make my own wine.
Is that a toenail in my spaghetti sauce? Oh, Emily.
Okay, so the problem, getting back on track, Michael, problem is BPA. So it's bisphenol A. It's a plastic additive. It's a toxic chemical. It's been linked to reproductive abnormalities, neurological effects, risk of breast and prostate cancers, diabetes, heart disease. It's a hazardous chemical, and it's put in the lining of the cans.
So what's wrong with the chemical again? No, I'm just kidding.
Really? It's all wrong.
Wasn't that same chemical in like...
polycarbonate water bottles.
Yeah, that's true.
And still in a lot of plastic.
Is it?
Yeah.
And where it gets tricky is it's especially not good for acidic foods.
Which is tomatoes.
Yeah. So in general, it's not good, but specifically tomatoes. Now, on the other hand, I did a little research myself, and this guy, Dewerge, he's a research chemist for the FDA. He said, well, nearly everyone in the U.S. will have traces of BPA in their urine. So it's okay.
Oh, jeez.
And the FDA study said, you know, high doses, thousands of times doses, had no effect on rats. But if you read the article, because I actually read the research, they talked about reproductive problems. They didn't even look at like brain development.
Right.
So, you know, you don't know. And it's something I think that if you do here and there, not a huge deal. You have, you know, tomato sauce at a restaurant, it might have come from a can.
Just don't make it one of your macronutrients.
Exactly. Right. It's actually kind of confusing to try to figure out which brands have BPA and which don't. You really just have to look on the individual labels. When Emily and I tried to research online, we actually got a lot of conflicting information. And I think it's because it's changing so quickly. Companies are starting to realize that consumers don't want BPA.
Which is a good thing.
And they're working. And some companies like Eden Foods, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, they're all working towards it. But some things have BPA and some don't.
So you really have to check the label.
The label. And the great thing is, especially organic brands, they will go out of their way to say no BPA if they've worked hard to get that out of the can. You'll see that on the label.
It's a claim to fame.
There you go.
It is.
I think I'm going to get a t-shirt that says BPA free.
Oh, that's a good idea. Emily, you're so funny.
I just want to label myself as appropriate.
Okay, you ready for number 2?
That'll never happen.
Number 2, do not eat processed meats.
Oh, I thought you were saying do not eat. I was like, no.
I love to eat. Okay, so this guy from the Clean Plates, the Koch guy, he warns processed deli meats like salami, ham, and roast beef are typically made with meats from animals that are raised in confined animal feeding operations, or CAFOs.
Please tell me bacon isn't in there.
Oh, bacon's always good no matter what.
Okay, good.
Unless it has nitrites.
Exactly. Unless it has nitrites, because that can be converted in the body to nitrosamines, which are potentially cancer-causing chemicals.
I'm willing to take that risk.
I mean, really, processed meats are just aren't healthy and should be avoided by everyone entirely, unless you know where it came from and what's in it. You know, I did do some research, and the company Applegate Farms actually has no process. I mean, it's great. The company is really good.
Yeah.
And if I buy processed meats, it's going to come from Applegate Farms
or
locally.
Yeah, there's some delicious like bacon that you can get from companies that don't use processed meats.
Mm-hmm. You just want to look for something that doesn't have all the junk. And, you know, we could talk about heterocyclic amines, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, and all the chemicals. The bottom line is you should be able to pronounce and know what's in the ingredients of food. So, you know, so you go to look at the label. You don't look at the part of the label that says fat, protein. You don't. You look at the ingredients.
Right.
It's a list of words. And if you can't recognize the words,
don't eat it.
Then be warned. Absolutely. Okay, so number three, not eat. Those of you who grew up in the 80s like me will be shocked to hear that you should not eat margarine.
Oh my gosh, my grandparents live off that stuff.
Used
right,
to,
because
yeah.
There was this whole low-fat diet craze. And
Country crock.
Butter got like the biggest axe in the world back in the 80s. And it's just not true. It's not true. I mean, margarine is full of trans fats, which are unnatural fats. Yeah, it's shortening spreads. Yeah this whole thing is the process of hydrogenation, which is basically how you turn a liquid vegetable into a solid fat. But trans fats, it's responsible for heart disease, cancer, bone problems, hormonal imbalance, skin disease, infertility, difficulties in pregnancy, problems with lactation, low birth weight, growth problems, learning disabilities in kids, you name it. Like, this stuff is just
and
chemicals.
It makes you fat.
And it makes you fat.
Our body does not know what to do with it.
Your body's like, what is this? Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to store it in fat tissue around my gut.
Right.
My anatomy and physiology professor in college explained this in the best way. So a fat in its original form is kind of like a snake, like liquidy and movable. So when they stack on top of each other in your body, it takes a lot less energy for them to break free and for your body to use them as energy. But when they take a hydrogenated fat, they're like Lego blocks. And when they stack in your body, they lock.
Yeah.
And so it takes your body so much more heat and energy to break them free, which is why they lead to obesity.
So being worried that but butter is saturated fat, get over it. Our bodies know what to do with it. It's healthy. We require it. It's great for us. So just no more margarine. Enjoy the butter.
Butter tastes better anyway.
So on the same note, number four is vegetable oils. So same idea. Highly processed, if we consume in large amounts, which most Americans do, it really can distort this ratio that we need in our body of healthy omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. So basically, if we are having a lot of hydrogenated oils, vegetable oils, we get deficient in omega-3 because they're so high in omega-6. So we have to take an omega-3 supplement, which is great, but you can also make sure you don't get out of balance by just avoiding any type of processed or heated vegetable oils.
I mean, your good cholesterol basically has to work to compensate for all the bad stuff that you're putting in.
Yes.
And so you're just up a creek without a paddle.
Right. You're oxidizing your cholesterol.
You're like Craps Creek.
Emily is on a roll today. Well, when you cook with polyunsaturated vegetable oils like canola oil, corn oil, solid oil, you're putting oxidized cholesterol into your system, which will lead itself to health problems. And when you heat it, it mixes with oxygen, so it goes rancid. So when I say oxidized oil, that's rancid oil, and it really should not be consumed because it leads directly to vascular disease.
You know, it's kind of scary. I'm not sure that I ingest any of these.
Good.
Yeah, I know.
You wouldn't have said that 5 years ago when we first started the
probably
the shows.
Not. Yeah,
that's true.
Well, see, my wife does most of the cooking. So
what oils
sure
do you cook with?
I don't know. Would she use coconut oil or?
Yep, there you go. Coconut oil, olive oil.
Yeah, my wife's trying to keep me alive for some reason. I don't know why.
Coconut oil is a good choice because it's nearly completely saturated fat, which means that it's less susceptible to heat damage. So you can heat it up and it's not going to break down and oxidize. And it's good. And in most foods, it actually lends a nice flavor.
So that's the one you want to use for high heat. And then you can always use olive oil.
raw. Olive oil, right.
Yeah, yeah. Raw. Yeah, you don't want to use olive oil for high heat. You know, a low-level sauté possibly, but yeah, use coconut oil. Coconut oil is great in a stir-crazy if you're going to make popcorn or if you're going to make popcorn on the stove.
Really?
Yeah, really good.
Speaking of popcorn, isn't that the next thing on our
yes,
list?
Yes, number five, but it's microwave popcorn.
Oh.
Okay, let's see
if you want to hear something funny about our microwave? We use it as our pantry.
You have a microwave?
Well, it was built in.
Okay.
But I haven't used a microwave in 10 years.
You store food in it?
Yeah, we use it as a pantry.
That's awesome.
The other day, I wanted to microwave one of those like warming bags.
You couldn't do it.
And I was like, is it worth it to take everything out of there?
That's awesome.
I went cold.
Okay, the hardest thing I have to do on the show is sometimes pronounce really long words. So this is why we shouldn't have microwave popcorn.
That's why you have me and Mike here to help.
That's right.
Do you want to try to pronounce that word?
The first one or the second one?
First one.
Perfluoroalkylyl.
That was awful.
Perfluoroalkylyls, which includes perfluoroctanoic acid, or PFOA, and perfluoroctane sulfonate.
Are you speaking
PFOS.
Dutch again?
Okay, but no, I can't even attempt that word. Okay,
but these are the chemicals that are used to keep the grease from leaking through like fast food wrappers, and it's
really?
Also what's lined inside the microwave popcorn bag. So what happens is when you heat the bag, the compound leaches onto the popcorn. And here's the thing: they're called gender bending chemicals. Yeah, they disrupt your endocrine system and affect your sex hormones.
Wow, I want to keep those intact.
It's a gender bender.
Seriously.
Gender bender popcorn.
So things like infertility, thyroid disease, cancer, immune system problems have been linked. You know, and again, it goes back to, you know, once in a great while, don't worry about it. But if your family's like, microwave popcorn every single night and you're giving it to your 8-year-old daughter, think again.
It's so much better made on the stove. I used to make it in the microwave when I was in college.
I don't like microwave popcorn.
Don't tell Dr. Jenny. But now I make it on the stove and it's so much better.
I like my air popcorn popper. Yeah. And always buy organic popcorn so it's not genetically modified corn. But yes, I like my air popper. And clearly, you have a bigger problem if you're even eating fast food all the time. You know, don't worry about your microwave popcorn because you're getting enough PFOAs right there. So, you know, choose your battle. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about potatoes.
You're listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the Southern New Hampshire area, you can schedule a health consultation and examination with Dr. Jenny. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, go to www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 673-5600. To find a chiropractor in your area, go to www.chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now back to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.
Number six, you ready?
We're ready.
Non-organic potatoes. You really want your potatoes to be organic. And actually,
really?
There's quite a few. They're just one of the most heavily sprayed, the highest pesticide load. And so they call it basically the top 12 or the top 15 of fruits and vegetables that have so many pesticides, you really want to budget buying them organically.
Really?
Yeah, so
I do eat lots of potatoes.
So you ready for the list? Okay, if you're sitting there with a pencil or pen, you might want to write these down. If not, you can just Google top 12 vegetables to buy organic and you'll find it
really
easily.
Or you can listen to this podcast over
again,
and over
and again. Again and again.
That's right.
So if you're going to buy these, you really want to buy them organically or you're putting a whole load of pesticides into your body. You want to buy organic apples, cucumbers, nectarines, and you want the nectarines to be imported, spinach, kale, celery, grapes, peaches, strawberries, collard greens, cherry tomatoes, hot peppers, like we said, potatoes, sweet bell peppers, and summer squash.
The take-home message is don't let your spuds be a dud.
There are other vegetables that have a really naturally low residual pesticide, meaning that they just don't get sprayed much. And it really, if you buy them conventionally or non-organic, it's not as big of a deal. And right. So when I go shopping, I have these memorized, and I make sure that, you know, if I see asparagus, for example, I'll just buy conventional asparagus. Interestingly, organic asparagus is really expensive, so it's kind of nice. So these do not have to be organic. Asparagus, cantaloupe, grapefruit, mushrooms, pineapple, avocado, which is fantastic, sweet corn, just make sure it's not GMO, kiwi, onions, sweet peas, like frozen ones, cabbage, eggplant, mango, papaya, just make sure it's non-GMO because most Hawaiian papaya is GMO, genetically modified, and sweet potatoes. So you've made your nice organic potato and you want to put some toppings on it. Number seven thing to avoid is table salt.
Oh no, I love salt.
I do too.
You know those things in the woods that are for deer, like the salt licks? I have one in my house for myself.
Now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Okay, wait, let's clarify. Salt is good. Salt is essential for life. You cannot live without salt.
Thank God.
However, regular table salt and the salt that we have in processed foods is not what your body needs. It's something else. Processed salt is mostly, it's like 98% sodium chloride. So this other 2% is like moisture absorbance and a little bit of iodine, but it's all man-made chemicals. What our body needs is less sodium chloride. So like natural salt's only about 84% sodium chloride. The other 16% of natural salt is naturally occurring minerals and minerals that our body needs, like, trace minerals like silicon,
sea salt?
Yeah, well, silicon, phosphorus, and vanadium. So yes, so sea salt in general is better, but even better is Himalayan salt or Celtic
sea
salt.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, Elizabeth takes good care of
she
you.
She does.
We want pure, unrefined salt. So when you think of like organic versus conventional, organic salt is like unrefined Celtic sea salt. Conventional salt is table salt. So it's just processed salt. We don't want processed salt.
It's the girl with the umbrella on the label.
Yeah, we don't want that. Our body doesn't know what to do with it. Yeah. The part of this important factor is the potassium to sodium ratio of our diet. So we can really get out of balance and it can lead to high blood pressure or hypertension and other heart problems like heart disease or memory decline and get this erectile dysfunction.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the easiest way to avoid this imbalance is just avoiding processed foods.
So I'd be doomed if I had microwave popcorn with regular salt on it.
You would.
There'd be nothing going on in my life.
Because all these processed foods are notoriously low in potassium and they're high in sodium, which puts our bodies out of balance. So do yourself a favor. Get same little salt shaker. Just make sure you put either Himalayan salt or Celtic sea salt, something that's more natural in it. Our bodies will be much healthier for it.
Okay.
Number eight, you ready?
I'm ready.
This is a big one. This is something I really studied about 8 years ago and I'm careful about. We want to avoid soy protein isolate. And really any unfermented soy products.
See, I thought soy was healthy for you. Wasn't
well,
it?
This goes back to like the 80s and 90s
right.
That like everything was anti-meat.
I'm only going to believe you from now on, Jenny.
Here's the problem. Maybe even once upon a time, soy wasn't as bad for us. But now 90 to 95% of soybeans grown in the U.S. are genetically engineered.
And it's in everything.
It is.
And those engineered soy products are used to create soy protein isolate. Because here's what they are. Do you remember we did the show where we talked about Roundup?
Yes.
Yeah, genetically Monsanto engineered things. Soybeans are designed to be what's called Roundup ready, which means they're engineered to withstand basically lethal doses of this herbicide.
No way.
So the active ingredient in Roundup herbicide is called something called glyphosate. Why do I have a hard time with these words? And that's responsible for the disruption of that hormone imbalance with the whole female reproductive cycle.
Another gender bender.
Yep. It's toxic to the placenta. It's related to miscarriage. It's basically a chemical that disrupts our cellular function. It's linked to autism. And you can see the soy protein isolate most commonly in like protein bars.
Those Clif bars.
I know.
Really?
It's so sad. And I even called the company directly and I said, I need to know, you know, is this soy protein a form of glutamate? which basically is, it's like what MSG is made from. And,
right.
And they did, the chemist that I got to talk to on the phone did agree that yes, it is glutamate. And even some of the natural products that from the companies that we've sold in the office, if I've had to call and ask the chemist, if they're made from soy, they're usually glutamate derivative and I won't sell them.
See, Jenny's looking out for us, isn't she?
Yeah, so meal replacement shakes.
She's got our back.
Meal replacement shakes, bottled fruit drinks, soups and sauces. Baked goods, breakfast cereals, you just want to, if you see soy protein isolate, it's the highest percent chance that it's genetically engineered and it's a form of glutamate. So you have to be a serious label reader. You know,
obviously.
There's a lot of additives out there with soy, and we want to avoid them if we can.
What are some examples of fermented soy products, like tempeh?
Tempeh, miso, tofu.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get some ideas of what I can
eat. Yeah, if it's fermented,
I don't need any of that stuff.
Or plant your own soybeans.
And there's been thousands of studies that have linked unfermented soy to malnutrition, digestive problems, immune system breakdown, thyroid dysfunction, cognitive decline, reproductive disorders, infertility, even cancer, heart disease. Soy is just not good. We really, unless it's fermented, we want to just stay away.
Sounds like Lucifer's kin.
Nope.
And then we'll end with number 9, which this is, to me, is just the most obvious, but maybe we should just say it again because there might be a few listeners out there actually.
Do you still eat those?
I love them.
But do you still eat them?
No, my wife won't buy them.
Go back to trans fats.
Number 9 is artificial sweeteners.
Oh.
That one should be pretty obvious,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like diet soda and sugarless gum.
And the funniest thing about this is that even though it's what we think the opposite, artificial sweeteners like aspartame actually stimulate your appetite. They make you crave carbohydrates.
Are you serious?
They stimulate fat storage and they make you gain weight.
Because they're not real. So your body's saying, hello, when are you going to feed me?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Greater weight gain than sugar in the most recent studies for saccharin and aspartame. Aspartame is probably one of the worst as far as it's made up of something called aspartic acid and phenylalanine. And, you know, you'll see the warnings for people with phenylalanine sensitivities. But it has that phenylalanine. It's part of the methyl group, which is what makes it the sweetness of
diet
it.
Diet sodas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what happens is that they say, oh, it's harmless. It's no big deal. Because what it creates is something called methanol, which is found in fruits and vegetables anyway. But in fruits and vegetables, this methanol is really firmly bonded to the pectin, which allows it to safely pass through our digestive tract. But with aspartame, it's not bonded, so the body has to learn how to eliminate it.
Doesn't it convert it to formaldehyde?
Well, it's basically, yeah, it's like a Trojan horse. It carries into susceptible tissues. It's carried into all these tissues of the body, like your brain and your bone marrow. And this gets a little scientific, but that's where the alcohol dehydrogenase or ADH enzyme converts it into formaldehyde. And so that's what wreaks havoc on like all these sensitive proteins and DNAs.
Is this the way I could preserve my brain and body forever?
Seriously.
Yeah, keep drinking that Mountain Dew.
But oddly enough, all animals except us, except humans, have a protective mechanism that allows this methanol to be broken down into a more harmless formic acid. And that's why you can't do toxicology testing on animals. So that's why they can say, oh, it's safe because we tested it on mice or rats.
Right.
And it's a flawed model because it doesn't fully apply to humans.
That's why they were feeding the horses carefree gum this weekend without worrying.
Okay, so to wrap it up, here's some guidelines for eating healthy. So make sure your food is grown without pesticides and chemical fertilizers. Organic foods fit that description, but so do some non-organic. So we give you a list of what you don't have to worry about. Make sure your food's not genetically engineered. Make sure there's no added growth hormones or antibiotics or other drugs. Make sure it doesn't contain artificial anything, not even preservatives if possible. Make sure your food is fresh. If you have to choose between a wilted organic produce or something fresh and conventional, it may be better to choose freshness because there's more nutrients in it. Make sure it's not grown in a factory farm. Make sure it's grown with the laws of nature in mind. Meaning, would an animal actually eat this in the wild?
Right.
And make sure it's grown in a sustainable way. And if you start to study the companies that you tend to buy your foods from, you can understand what their mindset is. Know your food. Know the companies that make your food. Ideally, know your farmers. Know where you get your seeds. Know who's put the love and energy into the food that's going to eventually become all of the cells of your body.
And you always tell us, don't waste time in the middle of the store, in the aisles. Shop the perimeter of the store where the fresh, alive foods are.
You don't have to read an ingredient label on an apple.
Nope.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. So just choose foods without ingredient labels.
Just don't buy an apple with a number 3 sticker.
Exactly. Or number 4.
Right.
Number 9 is organic. There you go. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you live in the Southern New Hampshire area, schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny at 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, call 673-5600 or check out www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.